That was it, yeah. I call the meeting of the Public Safety Finance and Policy Committee to order. A quorum is present. Welcome, everybody. It is an honor to be here, to be the chair of this committee. We have no official business before us today except to get to know each other a little bit better and learn what the committee is about. My goal is to wrap up the meeting in about an hour, and we might actually even get done before that. And before we go around and do introductions, again, I just want to say it's an incredible honor to get to serve the as chair of this committee, and it's an honor to work with each and every one of you. I look forward to getting to know each of you individually, to working collectively on bills together. And please know that my door is always open if you want to come and talk to me about anything. You know, in this committee, we're obviously going to talk a lot about public safety. Everybody in Minnesota deserves to feel safe. People deserve to be free from crime, safe from crime. Our first responders deserve to be safe when they're responding, and people deserve to be safe when first responders are called. A justice system that works fairly for everyone is also really important. And as part of that, trust in our system is incredibly important. I know as a prosecutor for over 20 years that in order for our system to work properly, people have to have trust in that system. Whether that's victims of crime so that they feel safe enough to report crimes that have occurred, witnesses who've observed crime, we need them to come forward. They need to have trust in the system. Defendants need to have trust in the fairness of the system, that they'll be treated fairly. And juries also need to trust the process for our system to work. So please know that that is an overarching theme that I'll be talking about, and I hope you all will keep in mind and we can all work towards that goal together. Public safety is a nonpartisan issue, and I'm really hoping that we can find common ground on many different areas. I know that we're going to have really big policy differences in some areas, but I also believe that we're going to have common ground in many other issues, and I welcome your input into bills and your participation in this process. And with that, I'll just introduce myself, and then we'll go around and hear from all our members and staff. So Representative Kelly Moeller, I represent District 40A. This is my third term, and I have the communities of Arden Hills, Moundsview, a little bit of Shoreview, and part of New Brighton. And I use she, her pronouns. We'll go to our vice chair, Representative Feist, next.
Thank you. Madam Chair, my name is Sandra Feist. I represent 39B, which is the rest of New Brighton, St. Anthony, and Columbia Heights. And I'm really excited to be here, honored to be serving as vice chair. Thank you.
Yeah, and then before we go to Lead Novotny, I'll just say for people who are used to have been in person before and they see that we've mixed it up with across the aisle here with Republicans and Democrats. So as people were walking in, I said, my dad watches all of these committee hearings, and he said, why don't you sit together? Why don't people sit together? So Dad, they listened. I know you're watching today, and at least for today, we're doing that. We'll see if it sticks. Lee Novotny.
Thank you, Chair Moeller. My name is Paul Novotny. I represent 30B, which is Elk River Now Then, about a third of Oak Grove, and about a third of Otsego. I'm in my third term. I served 33 years in law enforcement, retiring in May of 2020.
Thanks. Representative Pinto, why don't we start down here and then we'll continue to go around.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, so glad to be back with you. I've served in this committee for a couple terms now. Dave Pinto, representing the southwest part of St. Paul. I serve as a prosecutor of gender violence, especially domestic violence and sexual exploitation, sex trafficking, but other crimes as well. For Ramsey County, my work outside the legislature, and I'm chair of the Children and Families Committee, so trying to get kids on a different path so that they are not so much involved in some of the work of this committee, which is really important as well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Hi, everybody. My name is Athena Hollins. I represent District 66B, which is the northern neighborhoods of the city of St. Paul. I am also an attorney, but not a criminal attorney, so never fear. But I am also the daughter of a social worker, and so this particular area of law is really important to me because I understand, I've gotten to see firsthand a lot of the victims of crimes and the victims of our systems, and so I'm really happy to be here with you all today.
I'm Representative Walter Hudson. Thank you, Chair, for recognizing us. I represent District 30A, which is northeastern Wright County, so it's Rockford Township, Hanover, St. Michael, Albertville, and much of Otsego. And I'm excited about the work we're going to do here in the Public Safety Committee because I'm hoping that we'll be able to recognize the degree to which apathy really is the problem, whether you're talking about the apathy that leads to a criminal act or the apathy with which people are treated by the system or the apathy that sometimes leaks into the system. I'm hoping we'll find ways to address that.
Thank you, Chair Moeller. It's really fun to say that, by the way. So
I giggle every time. I'll get used to it.
Thank you, Chair Moeller. My name is Brad Tabke. I represent Shakopee. I got elected in 18. This is my second term. In my first term, I was on the Corrections Committee, and in Shakopee, we have the only women's facility, women's correctional facility in the state of Minnesota, and so happy to continue working on corrections issues and those types of things and being here on the Public Safety Committee for the first time. So thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Mueller. My name is Representative Dr. Patricia Mueller, which doesn't mean to anything to anyone else except for that it's I have my doctorate in education. I was a teacher for almost 20 years. This is my second term. I represent 23B, which is down in Austin, Minnesota. So feel free to come down to Hormel and take a free tour for the museum. It's really amazing. This is my second time being on public safety, and I'm very passionate about it because I was in the classroom watching my students deal with either the juvenile justice system or what happened to them when their parents were in the system. And so while I don't have any law enforcement background knowledge until coming to this committee last time, I know the repercussions that it has on our families and why public safety is a core function of government that needs to be supported bipartisanly. Thank you so much.
Thanks. And just so people are clear, Representative Mueller, Representative Moeller.
Yes. And that includes House, whoever, TV people. Mueller, Moeller.
But not Representative Miller anymore.
Right, that's right.
I'm Representative Mac Russell, District 2A, from Bemidji to the Angle Inlet on the Northwest Angle. I live in God's country, so you're all welcome to come and enjoy everything that that area has to offer. Stay if you want to. Always looking for good people to move into the area. I'm a retired deputy sheriff. I worked on Gangs, Guns, Violent Crimes Task Force for 6 years and on a SWAT team for 5. So I have a pretty good outlook there, pretty good handle on public safety issues. I'd like to see some work get done to protect our children from child pornography, from those predators that are preying on our kids every day. It's a passion of mine. It's something that these children's voices are not being heard, and they need to be protected. So I look forward to doing some work with everybody and anybody here who wants to help with that.
Let's go with staff. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. John Hultquist, House Republican Research. I've been with the House since 2011 and staffed the Public Safety Committee much of that time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's Ben Johnson from the House Research Department. We're the nonpartisan researchers, and I staff this committee and I staff the Judiciary Committee.
So I just wanted to mention also that I am an immigration attorney and also teach immigration law as an adjunct at the University of St. Thomas. And I'm deeply passionate about issues of juvenile justice specifically. And a large reason for that is that I had the honor to serve on a bipartisan, bicameral public safety working group. And it was an area of deep importance that seemed to have a lot of bipartisan energy and consensus in a lot of areas. So I'm really excited to focus a lot on juvenile justice this session. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Farheen Saeed. I'm the committee legislative assistant. Excited to be here. A little bit about me. Not an attorney yet, future attorney, hopefully. But excited to be working with all of you and great to be here. Thank you.
And Farheen's doing a great job. This is only his third day on the job and got us ready for committee. So thank you.
Ellen McDaniel, the committee administrator. Previous to this, I was the research consultant for this committee and the Judiciary Committee.
Madam Chair, Jeff Diebel. I work in House Research along with Ben Johnson. And in addition to staffing this committee, I staff the Veterans Committee.
Madam Chair, John Walls, House Fiscal Staff. I serve on this committee as well as Judiciary Finance.
Madam Chair, my name is Zach Meinertz. I'm with House DFL Research. I'm also on the Judiciary Committee, and today is also my third day.
Welcome. Chair Moeller, Jamie Becker Finn. I also chair the Judiciary Finance and Civil Law Committee, so I'll be working closely with many of you who overlap with that committee. Chair Moeller was my vice chair last biennium, so it's nice to switch seats. And I previously worked as a prosecutor in Hennepin County. I worked at the Domestic Abuse Service Center, so I had a really unique role there where I worked directly with advocates and victims on the front end of investigations instead of just on the back end. So I have that background. Obviously, I'm also an attorney, and I teach legislative process over at Mitchell Hamlin as well. So just really looking forward to getting some work done this year without, fingers crossed, the Senate also wants to get some work done this year, and just really happy to be on this committee with y'all. I was on public safety my first term and have been trying to get back on ever since, so I'm back without.
Thank you, Chair Moeller. Jeff Witte, retired police officer, 27 years. When I was a police officer, I was a high school school resource officer for 4 years, and I also was on the crisis hostage negotiation team. I led it for 16 years. Hopefully some of those skills can help me out. I am also game day security for the Minnesota Twins, and I work with corrections and probation officers and current and retired police officers. So hopefully we'll see you at a game.
Madam Chair, my name is John Hewitt. I represent 56B, the new district, which covers part of Rosemount, part of Eagan, part of Apple Valley. My interest in public safety, I bring to the group 30 years of EMS experience as an EMT, also 10 of which I served concurrent as a volunteer firefighter when Maplewood actually had a volunteer service. As many of you know, I've been working on this for the last three terms that I've been in the House, second term on public safety here. We have great opportunity in the world of EMS. As Representative Griswold, Russell, sorry. I watched too many Christmas movies. I'm sorry. In your area particularly, we have a lot of opportunity because we are suffering from lack of volunteers in our EMS and fire areas, and so I hope to have those discussions this year on this committee. So thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Elliot Engen, and I represent District 36A in the Minnesota House here, and it's Lionel Lake, Centerville, Circle Pines, White Bear Township, all the places that I called home and ran around in those same streets when I was a kid. And there is a tangible worry about the violent crime that we're starting to see leak in from other places, but I think that we can get past the platitudes and the ideological sometimes burdens that we self-impose and start to actually work together and figure out ways to holistically look at public safety. So I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Moeller and members. My name is Representative Breon Curran. I'm from 36B. I represent Badness Heights, White Bear Lake, Gem Lake, Birchwood Village, and the other portions of White Bear Township. I am a former police officer. My education is in law enforcement and criminal justice. I'm excited to bring that to the table here in this committee. And a particular passion area of mine in public safety, of course, secondary to keeping our community members safe, but is making sure that we're taking care of our public safety personnel and first responders as well. I'm quite passionate about mental health services for those who serve us. So I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
Happy New Year, everybody. Representative Cedric Frazier, District 43A, which is northwest suburb cities of Crystal and New Hope. This is my second term on the Public Safety Committee. I was proud to be a vice chair last term and proud to serve under Chair Moeller this term. And I'm a vice chair with Chair Becker Finn on the Judiciary Committee. Representative Ingen, I'm glad you mentioned that holistic approach. I think that is the best way to look at public safety and community safety overall. So I am looking forward to bringing policies and bills forward that do just that in a holistic manner. So glad to be here, everybody. Looking forward to working with everyone.
Thanks. And we do have a couple of pages. I know they weren't expecting to be called on, but if you could come step up to the microphone and introduce yourselves, that would be great. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Thank you. My name is Zach Collin. I'm a committee page. This is my first year here. I'm very excited to help you all with anything that you need.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sarah Jang. I'm also a committee page, and it's also my first year. Thank you, everyone.
Great. Yes, thank you so much for being here. Welcome to the House. All right. Well, we have so many great experiences, both professional and personal experiences in your background. Again, just really excited to serve with all of you. I do want you to note that we have our rules. Yep. A copy of the 2023-24 committee rules and procedure for this committee has been shared with members and staff electronically, and you do have a hard copy in your folder. The rules will also be posted on the committee's website. And I just want members to know that it is my goal to make this a fair process. We want to have good, robust debate. We want to hear from all different angles and sides of the bill. I am committed to working and making sure that this is a fair process. And I also just want you to know that it's my goal to really stick to the time with testifiers and when we're going to be voting on bills. We do have one less committee meeting per week than previous committees did. So I think it's at times going to feel like we're moving very quickly. But I'm going to, again, want to make sure that this process is very fair and open, and we will trying to be sticking to those timelines. With that, we have nonpartisan staff ready to give us a fiscal overview of agency and budget accounts. This is going to be a high-level overview of the agencies, organizations, and budget accounts within our committee's jurisdiction. We will be inviting each of these agencies back to present in our committee in the coming weeks once the governor's budget recommendations are released. John Walls, our fiscal analyst, will provide us with the overview, and our House research analysts will all be available to answer questions that members may have if there's time, and I'm sure there will be time. Mr. Walls, are you ready?
Madam Chair, I am ready. However, I think there was an error in duplicating, and so when you get to the text of the agencies, it was originally printed two-sided and was duplicated single-sided, so I think you are missing every other page. The members' packets and these things happen early in session, so my apologies for any mix-up there. But I can start, and I guess people will just have to take my word for it on the missing pages.
Well, that's fine, and we will also email a PDF to everybody so that they can get the complete version of the handout. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, so as you mentioned, this was supposed to be just sort of a high-level overview because there are the agencies are coming in to provide more detail in the coming weeks. And so everyone should have a packet that says 24-25 Biennium Public Safety Finance Committee Accounts and Base Budget. I'll just start on the first inside page there. There's a pie chart that says Biennium General Fund Base. And this is representing a portion of the overall state general fund budget. There are other funds that the state does spend, but just speaking generally of the general fund, the large committee, the finance committees, are K-12 education and health and human services, and they take up about 73% of the overall budget. As you can see, the portion that this committee spends of the overall general fund budget or our current base is 2.89%. When we go to conference committee, often we are coupled with judiciary, which is a few slots lower at 2.1%, bringing the overall total of our conference bills generally around 5% of the overall state budget in terms of general fund. So it's much larger than some of the other committees, but is very small in relation to things like K-12 and health and human services. Moving to the next page, There's the public safety finance budget base, and again, it could be better labeled. This is speaking entirely in terms of general fund, and we do have six different agencies within our purview, and those are listed in descending order. Department of Corrections is the largest portion of our spending, and it's 82% at $1,277,862,000, followed by the Department of Public Safety, and that is the non-transportation portion. Public Safety is a very large agency, and there are offices within Public Safety, such as State Patrol, Driver and Vehicle Services, Weights and Measures, and other things that are in the Transportation Finance Committee. But we have the non-transportation portion, which includes things like the BCA and Homeland Security and Emergency Management. The next largest agency is the Peace Officer Standards and Trainings Board, spending about $23 million. Sentencing Guidelines Commission at $1.5 million. The Ombudsperson for Corrections at $1.3 million. And the Private Detective and Protective Agents Board at $576,000. So, Madam Chair, moving to the next page, I have, depending on which page yours starts at, I'm going in from smallest to largest. The Private Detectives and Protective Agents Board has full-time equivalents of 3.8. That is essentially the number of people that are working there. So there's 8/10 of a position or someone not quite working a full-time equivalent. And their 24-25 biennium general fund base is $576,000. From the board's website, the mission of the Private Detective and Protective Agent Services Board is to ensure investigative and security service practitioners meet statutory qualifications and training for licensure and maintain standards set forth in Minnesota statutes and administrative rules. The board is a five-member panel comprised of one licensed private detective, one licensed protective agent, one law enforcement representative, and two public members. The board oversees more than 400 investigative and security license holders. Growth of these services can be seen in the increase in new licenses, along with the reissuance of over 100 licenses annually. Madam Chair, moving to the next of the agencies under our purview is the Ombudsperson for Corrections. They have 3.9 FTEs, and their biennial general fund base is $1.326 million. From their website, the Office of Ombuds for Corrections is a separate and independent from the Department of Corrections. The Ombuds has authority to take and investigate complaints from or about any Department of Corrections staff or facility charged with the care and custody of inmates and any regional or local correctional facility licensed by the DOC of Minnesota. So, Madam Chair, that takes me to a page which I'm not sure whether or not you have, and that is the Sentencing Guidelines Commission. They have six full-time employees. Their budget base for the biennium is $1.53 million. The Sentencing Guidelines Commission is an 11-member commission that establishes sentencing guidelines judges use to determine the presumptive sentencing in felony cases. In addition to supporting the work of the commission, staff receive data on felony sentences, provide information and reports on sentencing practices, and prepare fiscal notes to determine the inmate impact of changes in criminal penalties in proposed legislation. Moving on to the Peace Officer Standards and Training Board, they have 13.4 employees. Their biennial general fund base is $23,108,000. The Peace Officer Standard and Training Board, or the POST Board, is a 15-member board that regulates and promotes the profession of law enforcement across the state of Minnesota through the adoption, regulation, and enforcement of education, selection, licensing, and training standards. The governor appoints 14 members to staggered four-year terms, and the remaining membership is held by the superintendent of the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. The board sets out standards for over 10,000 peace officers across the state and also administers training reimbursement funds to local law enforcement agencies. Madam Chair, I think we're maybe back onto pages that you have, which brings us to a large agency that does a myriad of things, and that's the Department of Public Safety. Their number of employees are 2,151 total, but that includes the transportation and non-transportation portion. Their biennial general fund base for the non-transportation portion, or the portion that we spend in this committee, is $246 million over the biennium. The Department of Public Safety is an agency responsible for many functions relating to the general safety of the public. The agency has several internal divisions or programs, and the state legislature divides the agency's funding between two major funding committees. Several programs related to transportation are funded through transportation finance, and the other five remaining programs are under the jurisdiction of this committee. Those under the jurisdiction of this committee include Homeland Security and Emergency Management, and that is a program with 75 full-time staff. They have an annual general fund budget of just over $3 million. Homeland Security and Emergency Management is the part of the agency that helps local communities with emergency preparedness, disaster recovery, and school safety. The office is responsible for administrating funds, both state and federal, for local disaster recovery needs. Another program in our area is Alcohol and Gambling Enforcement Division. And that's the program within the department that's responsible for the regulation of alcohol and gambling within the state. The office regulates producers, wholesalers, and local retailers of alcohol through licensing and investigation functions. They also have agents that conduct criminal and background investigations for legalized gambling. Gaming may include casinos, horse racing, card rooms, state lottery, and charitable gambling. And the general fund budget for this function is about $2.9 million per year. That brings us to a popular topic in this committee, and that is the Office of Justice Programs. The Office of Justice Programs is a division with an annual general fund base of over $42 million per year. An OJP, as they are often called, is tasked with awarding and administering competitive grant funds from both the state and federal money. The office oversees over 400 individual grants to local communities and nonprofits. Grant categories include grants for violence prevention, assistance to crime victims, juvenile justice and mentoring programs, as well as crime prevention and enforcement. Moving down to the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, it's a division that provides assistance to local communities with complex criminal investigations, evidence analysis, and forensic testing. The agency operates the state's criminal databases and compiles data and reports on criminal activity. The BCA operates labs on toxicology, DNA testing, and other analysis to provide assistance with local criminal prosecutions. An annual general fund budget of over $70 million a year is supplemented by state trunk highway funding of $2.4 million from the Trunk Highway Fund to offset sample testing and enforcement of DUI and drug-related cases committed on Minnesota highways. Next, we have the State Fire Marshal Division. It's an office that promotes fire safety, fire-safe environments through fire and arson death investigations, fire investigation training for local departments, firefighter training materials and program, and the inspections of schools, hotels, motels, and healthcare facilities. The fire marshal is responsible for aiding in the development and adoption of state fire codes. The fire marshal has an annual general fund budget of nearly $5.8 million, but also receives $14 million per year from the fire safety account, which is a fund established from the proceeds of a tax on fire insurance premiums. Funds are used for duties of the fire marshal, as well as training reimbursements for local departments and limited equipment purchases for regional fire response teams. The last program within the Department of Public Safety is the Emergency Communication Networks. It's a program in public safety that receives no general fund money. They support operation and periodic upgrades of statewide emergency communication networks. Their annual budget is currently $58 million per year of dedicated funds from the E911 fund. These are the proceeds for monthly fees on telephone service and includes an 80 cent per month 911 service fee, a 4 cent per month Telecommunications Access Minnesota fee, and a 7 cent per month telephone assistance plan fee. And the collections are restricted to use on emergency communication networks, much of that by federal law. Madam Chair, that brings us to the last agency, and that is the Department of Corrections. They have 4,189 full-time employees. They have a biennial general fund budget base of $1,277,862,000. The Department of Corrections receives the overwhelming share of spending of agencies under the Public Safety and Finance Committee's purview. The DOC is responsible for the incarceration, well-being, and rehabilitation of over 7,800 inmates statewide. Those are comprised of currently 7,300 male and 501 female inmates sentenced for felony offenses at one of 11 correctional facilities throughout the state. The department not only houses inmates, but provides educational programming, job skills, health care, as well as reintegration and supervision services once they leave state facilities. The Department of Corrections divides their agency into three program delivery areas, which include: the first is incarceration and pre-release services, and that's the program that contains funding for the correctional facilities and includes the majority of DOC staff positions. The program includes all funding for operating the prison system, including staff, programming, food services, inmate health care, transportation, and under other functions. Their general fund base for this program is $470 million per year. The second program in the Department of Corrections is community supervision and post-release services. It's primarily tasked with the supervision of offenders after release, as well as the supervision of those sentenced to probation. The total supervision population in the state of Minnesota exceeds 95,000 individuals when including supervised release and probationers. Supervision is provided by three delivery systems, and the supervisory role is provided by the DOC, the county, or a combination of both. The program is also responsible for victim and community notification functions and the apprehension of fugitives who are not following the condition of their supervised release and are evading supervision. The annual general fund base is nearly $137 million, but this includes pass-through funding to counties that do supervision of their own clients. The last function is organization, regulatory, and administrative services. This is known by many as the central office. The office provides data collection, offender record keeping, legal services, and reporting, as well as administrative functions, including human resources and payroll. The program inspects 185 local jails, halfway houses, and juvenile facilities, and their annual general fund budget for the office is $31.5 million a year. Madam Chair, I hope that was coherent and not mumbled too quickly, and if there are any questions, I would take them.
It was coherent. Thank you, Mr. Walls. And again, those missing pages, actually what would be great is if we could get a complete packet and then have that, we can put those in our save folders, and then we'll also send you an electronic version, and we'll post the electronic version online so that you'll always at least be able to reference that when you come to committee, you have that. I didn't ask Jeff and Ben if they'd be willing to do this, but I think it would be helpful if you could just give us kind of a high-level overview of the different issue areas that you cover, so when members have a bill they want to write or an amendment, they have a general idea of who they should begin with. Go ahead, yes, Mr. Diebel.
Thank you, Chair Moeller. I'm Jeff Diebel, House Research. My primary areas of responsibility for this committee are public safety, corrections, and those two largest agencies. I also do peace officer issues, but I'll caveat that with whatever you request you have, you can send to either Ben or I, and we'll find the correct person to work on the project, or we may work jointly on it.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. As far as these agencies go, I primarily handle issues related to the Sentencing Guidelines Commission. Outside of that, I handle most of the general crimes, except for sexual assaults. Jeff handles most of the sexual assaults. So DWI, domestic violence, assaults, general crime-related issues, I handle most of those issues.
Great. Thank you. I'll also mention that if members are interested, we could try to get some tours set up maybe during the interim of some of the different agencies. I know in the past there have been tours of some of our correctional facilities. I think that that's valuable for members to have. And then also the BCA, that's just a really informative tour, but it's also a lot of fun. So maybe we can work with the agencies to get those tours set up if folks are interested. I'm seeing some head nods during the interim. Do members have any questions? Representative Hewitt.
Madam Chair, are we going to dive into some of these areas a little bit more as these departments come forward, or is this it?
So that is an excellent question. We're going to have next week, we're going to have, I believe, four of the different agencies and boards are going to be coming and presenting to us. And then the other ones that we don't cover during that committee hearing, when they have bills, relevant bills, we'll have them give up more of an agency overview at that point when we start hearing bills relevant to them. So we will have them coming. We'll have some time for questions. And, of course, they'll be coming back again when the governor's budget is ready. Other questions? All right. I'm not seeing anything. And that was my segue, Representative Hewitt, into what we were going to be doing next week anyway with those agency presentations. So thank you for that question. My goal is on Thursday to start hearing some bills. I'm hoping to have really good communication with Lead Novotny on what's coming. We had a brief discussion on the floor today. So we can keep you informed of what's in the pipeline and what we're expecting. But I'm ready to get to work and start passing some legislation. So thank you again. We will meet here on Tuesday, January 10th at 10:30 a.m. All of the information will be posted on the committee's webpage. And with that, the meeting is adjourned.